It's the best day ever. And I will not change my mind. God is so good. I am so easy. I'm so easy to make cry just by the little wonderful miracle things that happen in life. I told the people in the bank where I cashed one of my renter's checks, I said, I have to tell you ladies about a miracle I had. The last time I came to cash this check, you gave me four $100 bills all fanned out like a deck of cards. And I grabbed them like you handed them to me. And I'm looking at my phone while I'm putting them in my pocket while I'm getting into my car. And then I go to the ATM. I'm getting ready to leave the parking lot to go to the ATM. And I reach into my pocket and to pull out my $400 bills, four of them. And there's only three. And I realize I must have dropped a $100 bill right when I was getting into the car. And I start to turn around. And as I'm approaching where I was parking, there's a family that came out of the ServiceNet building. ServiceNet is where they help people who are in need. And this family looked like they were in need. There was a father, a mother, a baby, a little girl about three, and a little boy about four. And as I'm pulling around to find my $100 bill, that little boy found it before I got there. I saw him pick up my $100 bill, and he acted like he had just gotten a free entry into Disneyland. And I pulled over to the side and put my car in park, and he turned around and showed his mom and dad this crisp $100 bill. And that family started holy dancing and looking up into the sky. And I could tell they were thanking their God. And I could tell that that $100 bill meant way more to that family than it meant to me. All I was going to do was go buy another couple of shirts with it and a couple of pairs of, yet another couple of pairs of sweatpants. And I imagined what God had done by having me be a part of this miracle. I started crying like a baby. Yeah. And I looked through my tears at that family, and they were still holy dancing. And they had their hands in the air, and they were blissed. Yeah. And I sat in my car, and I thanked God for making me be so rich that I could pass on one quarter of what I had been paid to support a family. Even though I didn't do it intentionally, I rejoiced about it as though it was my idea. Because God's ideas are my ideas. I rejoiced. That was on a Saturday. The next day I came to Unity to preach. I had a great time with my Unity family. And in the hug line, the third to the last person there was Allison, who I hadn't seen for a while. And she hugged me up. And then she rubbed my shirt. I thought she was getting some makeup off of it or some dirt off of it or a smudge off of it. Later, when I was walking to my car, I felt my coat rubbing against something. And I reached into my pocket, and what had Allison done? There was a crisp $100 bill that God had returned to me. And on my way to the car, right halfway down that block, I stopped. And I cried like a baby. And all I can say is, if you don't know there is a God, you must be blind. If you can't feel the presence of God, you must be dead. I have eyes to see, and I feel the goodness of God wherever I go. Amen. What I knew was that God had not given me back that crisp $100 bill through the channel of Allison for me to keep. I had felt too good knowing that it had gone for a cause more worthy than a couple of more shirts and sweatpants for Carlos Wayne Anderson. I realized that I had never given any money to ServiceNet, although I know a lot about what they do to feed the hungry and to shelter the homeless and to clothe the naked. I had to go right back to ServiceNet, which is located right next to my bank. And I had to give that $100 bill in behalf of whoever needed it. When I went into the bank this week, which was a month later, the women in that bank said, your miracle changed the entire culture of our working group. We began to cry after you left, and we re-cried a number of times over the next 3 days. And the last time we cried, we were hugging each other, and we were saying to one another, "Forgive me for being so short with you. Forgive me for not being more understanding. Forgive me for not allowing you the space to do the best you can on Monday through Friday, when your life sometimes is falling apart all around you, and yet you come here and you work and you do your best." They said, "Reverend Carlos, you changed the culture of our workspace." And right before I left, I turned around at the door and said to my sisters behind the counter, "The miracle continues." And when I got to my car, I cried again. I'm easy. I'm a baby. I get moved at the goodness of God. Sometimes in spite of myself. I think I told you that some years ago, when young people first started wearing really baggy pants that hung halfway down, you could see their underwear. When I first encountered that look, I rolled my eyes and clicked my teeth and said, "Lord, have mercy. I hope this little thing passes by quickly. I hope this fades and wears down." And I was just in that energy. Every time I saw a guy with his pants hanging down, showing half of his underwear, I acted like he was doing something to me. I acted like he had walked up to me and slapped me. I was just mad as I could be. I think of myself as an open, inclusive, loving, welcoming person. But I have to tell you, the times I catch myself not being that, and this was one of those times. This day, I was stopped at a red light right outside of a convenience store. I saw an older woman. I know the woman. She is an older Jewish woman in our community who has been working to help people, young people, ever since I got to Amherst in 1970. Her name is Frances Crowe. Had it not been for Frances Crowe, I would have been inducted into the United States Armed Forces during the Vietnam conflict. It was Frances Crowe that used to speak to young people and tell them what was really going on, that it was not a fight for democracy, and that if you knew you were a conscientious objector, you should stand up and let everybody know that this is who I am. I'm a man of peace. So I filed my forms, and at that time they needed more young guys in the service, and so I was denied my conscientious objector status. Frances Crowe looked me into the eye and said, "Carlos, you have to have the willingness to go to the draft board on the day you're supposed to show up. And if you pass the physical and they are about to induct you into the armed forces, you have to have the willingness to keep your feet planted and not take a step forward. If you do, you're inducted. If you don't, you're in trouble." But you're in an honorable trouble. You're in trouble for being who you really are, and who you really are is a man of peace. I got to tell you, when I got there and they said step forth, I was the only person that stayed where I was. They sent me in to talk to two different people who gave me horror stories of what my future would be incarcerated in a penitentiary. They let me know that if you think Vietnam is bad, wait till a cute little guy like you gets incarcerated. It's going to be a direct hit on you every day, not waiting on a bomb to drop somewhere in the field. But I stood there. They gave me three chances, and each time I stood there. And they let me know that they would come to get me, and they let me know that they would be imprisoning me, and that my parents would be fined. I forget, I think it was something like $50,000. But nothing they said could change me from knowing who I am and having the courage to stand in who I am. For 2 years, if anyone walked up to me quickly from behind, I turned around ready to fight, because I thought, they're coming to arrest me. Now it's coming my prison time. I learned so much about me during that 2 year period. I learned what it was like to know that if you stand for righteousness, according to what to you is righteousness, you will be tested. And sometimes it can put you in fear, but the fear should not rock you from your station. And Frances Crowe, this woman I adored, it's many years later, she's much older now. She's walking toward the door of the convenience store, and I'm wishing I could get out of my car and go and open the door for Frances Crowe. Here comes a guy with his pants hanging his coat down behind. And I know him. I knew him as a child. He grew up in privilege in the town of Amherst, Massachusetts. And he's walking like he grew up in the hood. He's strong. And I see that he is moving himself right in front of Frances Crowe. All kinds of judgments went off into my head. Now I wish I could get out of the car and snatch him out of the way so Frances can get in the store. And he's like moving really quick, like I gotta beat this woman into the store. And he gets to the door, and I'm so mad at him. And he opens the door, and he bows. And he says, "After you, ma'am." I cried. Because my own judgments had been exposed to me. I judged a book by its cover, and I judged its cover by my own prejudices. I began to ask myself, how often have you done this? I want you to track back. And in your present and in your future, I want you to be aware any moment you get ready to do anything like that again. Carlos Wayne, I only want you crying at your bestowing the beauty and the miracles of living life on planet Earth. I don't want you to cry anymore from your own pain at your own closed heart. I call this lesson title, or this sermon title, as I would say in some churches, A Most Risky Prayer to Pray. It occurred to me when I was a little boy, in the Pentecostal church, we knew our Bibles backwards and forward. And this prayer was one, the Lord's Prayer, that was brought forth quite often. And I can remember having the whole church standing up and the whole church speaking this prayer by heart out loud. And every time they would get to the place, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us," I thought to myself, that's a risky prayer to pray. You're asking God, you're asking the universe, you're asking the universal feedback system to observe me when someone harms me, when someone lets me down, when someone attacks me, when someone doesn't like me, when someone judges me like I used to judge people who had their pants down to here. I want you to notice how I respond to those people, and I want you to do the same thing and present the same response to me when I'm off track. That's a risky prayer to pray. Forgive the one who hated on me. Asking the universe. All I want from the universe is love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness for all of my trespasses. And this prayer states that the cost of that is that the universe observes me and how I react when I have been attacked, let down, talked about, lied on, mistreated, abused, and do the same for me. If most of us prayed this prayer, honestly and consciously, our prayer would be this: forgive me my trespasses with much more grace and much more mercy, and much more gentleness, and much more forgiveness than I forgive those who trespassed against me. Don't spew on me like I have spewed on so many people. Don't roll your eyes and click your tongue when you see me walking down the street. Most of our true prayer would be, forgive me my trespasses in a whole nother realm than I have been willing to forgive those who trespassed against me. Or we would not pray the prayer at all. I live in a present time and have been for a while because I've worked at it. I've made it my business. I seek it with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength to be the highest me I can be and to bestow nothing but love on everybody. Everybody in my past, everybody in my present, and everybody that might come along and is sure to come along in my so-called future. It is my joy to pray this prayer. Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. I stand confident when I pray that prayer because I have been watching me. I have been observing me. And as I've said three times before, when I watch me, having mastered and continue to master the art of extending only love, only peace, only gentleness, only quietness to those who have let me down or attacked me in any way, I love closing my eyes and taking a deep breath and asking that the God who has blessed me would bless them as richly. I love praying that prayer because I love dropping the rock. There is a scripture that says, regarding my looking at the guys with the pants hanging down, there is a scripture that came to me that day after I finished crying in the car. Somebody had to beat their horn four times because my light had done turned green and then red again and green again. And I'm still sobbing behind my wheel. And there's a scripture that says, speaking directly to me personally, God put it in there personally for me. And that scripture said, the evil you see in the world is the evil that is within you. That scripture said, the evil man, out of the evil in his own heart, sees so much evil in the world. But the pure man, because of the pureness of his heart, sees only the purity of the world. Either thing will make you cry, but it's how you cry and what you're crying about. A Course in Miracles says, God is in everything I see because God is in my mind. When God is in my mind, God is all I see. But if other than God is there, then other than God will be all I see. Everything out there is a projection of what is in here at the deepest places of my core belief. For the last many years, one of the most beautiful sights I am ever blessed to behold is a guy with his pants hanging half down his back, walking like he's going through a prison yard. My heart chakra opens and I get so happy because the holiest spot on earth is where a past hatred has become a current love. I wish there were more guys like that in my vicinity. Because every time I see one, I behold my innocence and I laugh at how foolish and crazy I was to ever think such a thing was worthy of my judgment. You know, I used to think that those of us in Unity churches, I think I told you when I found Unity back, I think it was in 1981 when I found Eric Butterworth's church here in New York. And I told my family I'm moving to New York to be an actor, but primarily I'm moving there so I can go to Eric's church because it's the only place I think I'll be welcome, because I'm clearly not welcome in the Pentecostal circle or the Baptist circle or the traditional circle. So I can't wait to get there. And I think I told you that when I got to Unity, I thought that everyone in that congregation would be only love, only light, only peace, only joy. They would be the light of the world so clearly. And it broke my heart to discover that people are people wherever you go. Years later, in the early 1970s, I was introduced to A Course in Miracles. And I read my textbook, and I did my work lessons, and I heard that there was going to be a huge convocation of A Course in Miracles people. All the big names were going to be there. And they invited me and Johnny to come and do all the music for the whole weekend. And I said, okay, I didn't find it in Unity, but surely at this Course in Miracles gathering, everybody's going to be so loving, so uplifting, so gentle, beholding the face of Christ in one another, because they have read in the text, God is in everything I see, only when God is in my mind. God is going to be in the mind of everybody here. Oh, Johnny, it's going to be so awesome. I was there about 20 minutes. In the sign-in line. And I went, oh, my Lord. People are just people around. And do you know what I've discovered in the years since? I've discovered that people in some of these circles, more Course in Miracles people than I can count, more Unity students and teachers and ministers than I can count, are for some reason most willing to attack others who have attacked them, to not extend forgiveness to people who have hurt them, who stir up the crap in their minds year after year about the one thing that happened. And one thing most of these people in these groups try to do is to pull me in. If I can get Carlos to agree with me that it's okay for me to talk crap about another person, if I can get him to agree with me that this person is not deserving of my forgiveness, and that I can crucify them and crucify them and crucify them year after year after year for how they failed to live up to my expectations, they've got the wrong guy. I am known for not giving ear. I am known for not leaning into that. Most of the people who are angry at me on this planet are angry at me because they loved me so much and couldn't get me to hate on the one they hate on. It still happens. And I still stop them in their tracks and say, excuse me, I don't do this. Excuse me, you're talking about my brother. You're talking about my sister. I don't care if it's Timothy. I don't care if Timothy comes home from working at the hotel and wants to vent about his boss because he is so off track. I'll give him a minute of airing time to state the issue. And if he goes any further, I go, listen here, boy. You are my brother, but don't you forget, she is my sister. I see you equal in the sight of God along with me. I'm not going to sit here and lean into any of these conversations with anybody talking crap about anybody. Because I know what will happen to me. Later that night, I will be on my knees crying for the wrong reason. I will be crying because when they said, step forth, you're about to be inducted into the armed forces of attack on a sister or a brother, I actually stepped forward. That's why I would be crying. And I won't cry tonight for that reason. Tonight when I'm on my knees crying, it will be because once again, I've stood the ground of my sense of righteousness. You just can't get me to talk about the people you want to talk about. A huge test came for me when Reverend Paul left this ministry and there was an explosion of emotion going all around. And people were on sides all around. And I had people take me to lunch who wanted to talk crap about Britt and his capacity to be the spiritual leader. They wanted me to start going to where Paul was. You love him, don't you? Well, this is the deal. And I would say, hey, Paul is my brother. Britt is my brother. I've had people, even recently, who have not let Reverend Paul Tenaya off the hook, who want to have me to lunch to talk crap about my brother. And some of the same people have other people in their lives who invite me to lunch to talk crap about them. And I will not engage. I will not step forward. I will not be inducted into the armed forces of those who would attack, those who would demean, those who would talk about, those who would practice that German word, Schadenfreude. I don't care if I pronounced it correctly. Don't shout it out, German-speaking people. Schadenfreude. It's a subtle way. Some of us don't talk about people. We hold the upset. We hold the grievance. We don't talk about them. But we are delighted to hear any bit of news that appears as though they're not really doing all that well. Their new ministry is struggling. They're having health challenges. And they report these things to me with glee. And I don't lean in. We have all been tested. We will continue to be tested. I can't fill out a slip that says, this is why I come once a month. This is what would make me come more often. These are the programs I like, or these are the programs that work for me. This is the only thing I would write on that slip. If there is anyone at Unity of New York who is not blessing Reverend Paul Tenaya, who was one of the people who began this ministry nearly 20 years ago. You want to fill these seats again? You want to bring back the fullness of the joy again? Drop the rock. Cut the brother loose. Bless him. Pray for him. Uplift him. Even send his church a tithe. We cannot mess around with this prayer because it's more than a prayer. It's the law of the universe. You don't even have to pray it or ask for it. It's automatic. It's the boomerang law of the universe. What you put out gets multiplied and bam, hits you back in the head. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I am so grateful that I have forgiven my early childhood perpetrators. All the years before I forgave them, they were wearing me down. Judgment, condemnation, they take work. They drain my spirit. They rob me of the pep in my step. And they make me cry for all the wrong reasons. Please join me in catching yourself. Do what I did. Backtrack. Who do I just hate on? Who do I not wish well? Who do I talk about behind their back? What a cowardly thing to do. Who do I not see as a child of God? The universe is watching. Ah, Carlos has changed. He no longer spews on people he has judged to have spewed on him. He does the Course in Miracles prayer. I am one self, united with my Creator, at one with every aspect of creation. And I am limitless in power. And I am limitless in peace. To everyone, I offer quietness. To everyone, I offer peace of mind. To everyone, I offer gentleness. I am the light of the world. Forgiveness is my function as the light of the world. The light of the world brings peace to every mind through my forgiveness. God is in heaven. Heaven is in you. Holy is your name. God wants you to know you have nothing to fear, and that there is nothing and no one to blame. You've been informed. Your captivity is over. Amen. You've been informed. In truth, you're free. And so it is. Let me remember, O Creator, source of my being, my truest, highest self. remind me that whatever the question, love is the answer. Help me to recall that whatever the problem, love is its solution. Help me to know when I am that one lost sheep who knows he's lost, knows he's in the darkness, knows he's strayed away from the conscious presence of oneness with the Creator and all of creation. Let me know in those times of being lost that I am lost. And let me cry out for help. Do not let me be like some among the 99 who, though they were not physically lost, were lost emotionally, lost mentally, and lost spiritually, believing themselves to be in the presence of Christ consciousness. There is no need to cry out for it. Believing themselves to be found, did not look to see perhaps the places in them that were lost. Deepen in me, O God, the 5 principles upon which the worldwide unity ministry is founded and grounded, especially number 5, because looking at my own life, I've discovered time and time and time again that knowing and understanding the laws of life, also called truth, are nothing without the living of it. Forgive me my trespasses, as I forgive those I judge to have trespassed against me. Don't leave me in the temptation of believing it's okay to fight fire with fire. Let the old law of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth not be my law. Let my law be the final one that Jesus presented to me. Carly, love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. And love everybody as you love and wish to be loved by me, the source of love within you. It's not complicated. It's simple, really. Love is the only thing that makes life worth living.